We begin the current daf. Masechta is Gittin daf Ches. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is we're discussing this topic that the Masechta began with. Hamevi get me medin siyam. If someone brings a get from out of Eretz Yisrael, he has to say b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam. Whereas if he brings it in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have to say. Now in the previous daf, the Gemara brought a seemingly contradictory brises regarding if someone brings a get from the Naharos of Eretz Yisrael. Do you have to say b'fanei nechtav or not? Is it considered like an Eretz Yisrael or like Chutz Laretz? So that the Gemara gave 2 approaches. Either it's a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, as we find elsewhere that they argue about if someone has earth from Chutz Laretz and has it in a boat in one of the rivers of Eretz Yisrael, and he plants something over there, is he chayiv in Meiser and in the Shemitah year, do we consider the rivers of Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Yisrael or not? That's one approach in regards to this halacha. Do we say that the bringing a get from one of the rivers of Eretz Yisrael is like you're bringing an Eretz Yisrael or not? Or the second approach was that actually both brises are like Rabbi Yehuda, but as we find in Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation of the rivers of Eretz Yisrael, that it depends. If it's on the water, then he views it as out of Eretz Yisrael. But if it's touching the ground on a very shallow water, then it's considered as part of Eretz Yisrael itself. That's the brise that says that if you bring a get from the rivers of Eretz Yisrael, that it's considered like Eretz Yisrael itself. Now, on that, the Gemara continues with a third approach regarding these contradictory brises. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, he says that actually those 2 brises that we spoke about, if someone brings a get from a boat where they argue, so he says if it's b'naharis to Eretz Yisrael, if it's actually the rivers that run through Eretz Yisrael, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak to kule amaloi pliki. No one's going to argue, both brises would agree, that actually it's considered as Eretz Yisrael. And even though, like we found in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that he differentiated if the boat is docked, if it's touching the ground or not, doesn't make a difference. Because as Rashi explains, the reasoning of get has nothing to do with the machlekes that the previous 2 terutzim are based on the braisa with the machlekes of Yehuda and Rabbanan, that's talking about the halachas of Meister and Shemitah, which that depends if that item is getting nourishment from the ground or not. So therefore, yeah, there maybe it'll make a difference. Do we view it as it's touching the ground? There is space between. That would make sense for that machlekes. But says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that has nothing to do with the halacha we're talking about over here of b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. That would be based on different criterion. If the b'kin l'shma, if the shayaris mitzuyes. So therefore, it says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, doesn't make a difference if it's in the rivers of Eretz Yisrael or it's on the dry land of Eretz Yisrael. If it's in Eretz Yisrael itself, then you don't have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. According to both brises. Then what was the machlokes that we quoted with these 2 different brises? If hamevi get besvina, is it kamevi be'eretz Yisrael, or it's like you bring it from Chutz Laretz? That's b'yam ha'gadol. That's in what's called the Great Sea, a reference to the Mediterranean, which that is the western boundary of Eretz Yisrael. And the machlokes tanoim is that there is one of the opinions that hold that the edge of the sea, which is touching the land of Eretz Yisrael, that is the boundary, and that is the sea itself is not Eretz Yisrael. Whereas the other braisa held, no, that the sea itself, the Mediterranean, is considered part of Eretz Yisrael. And that's what they're arguing about. When you bring it in the Sfina, in the Mediterranean, do we view that as if it's being brought in Eretz Yisrael or out of Eretz Yisrael? Now, the Tanya, like learning the braisa. Now, the braisa is based on the discussion of what is the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. The northwestern corner of Eretz Yisrael is Har Har, where, as the wording here in the Brice is actually used, the word Turi Amnon, because that's the Targum Yerushalmi, that translate the word in the Torah in Bamidbar Lamed Daled of Har Har as Turi Amnon, which means Har is the mountain, which Turi means mountains in Aramaic, and Amnon of Amnon. Now it says there in the Pasuk, Zeyeh Lechem Gevul Tzav, and this shall be for you the northern boundary, Min Hayam HaGadol, from the Mediterranean, Tiso Lechem Har Har, coming up to Har Har. So obviously what we see from the Pasuk is that Har Har is right there by the sea. And moreover, that the mountain is the northernmost boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Now, so we know that's the northwestern corner. Now, generally, mountains have inclines. They have slopes. Now, there are slopes that could be for a distance of 1 or 2 days if it's a very large mountain. So, and that is what the Tanya of the Braisa says. So, Eizehu Eretz ve'ezu Chutz La'aretz. What part of the Har Har, which that's the boundary on the northwestern corner of the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, what part of the mountain is considered part of Eretz Yisrael, and what part is considered out of Eretz Yisrael? In other words, where do we measure when we said the Hora Hora is the boundary? Is it from the foot of the mountain or is it from the top of the mountain? So that's the time the Brisa explains. Kol she'shefeya v'yorid mituri amnin v'lefnim, whatever slopes and inclines from the top of the mountains of these Hora Hora to the inside, meaning towards Eretz Yisrael, meaning to the south. So that is Eretz Yisrael. That's considered as part of Eretz Yisrael. And the reason being is because it's actually the top of the mountain that's the boundary where Eretz Yisrael ends. So therefore, from the slope inward is Eretz Yisrael. Mituri amnin ulechutz. Now, however, from the top of those mountains towards the outside, meaning towards the north, that's considered chutz la'aretz. That's already considered out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, that's towards the north. Now, moving towards the west, Hanisin Shebayam, the islands that's in the Mediterranean towards the west. So Rayan Oisan Ki'ilu Chut Metuach Alein. So we see those islands as if there's a string, that as if there's a line that's cutting through Mituri Amnon ad Nachal Mitzrayim, from the northernmost corner of Turi Amnon until the southernmost corner of Eretz Yisrael, which are the rivers of Mitzrayim, of Nachal Mitzrayim, which again, that's the southwesternmost part of Eretz Yisrael, which is actually attached to the Mediterranean, because as the Pasuk says, when it talks about the southern border of Eretz Yisrael, it says, V'nosiv ha'gvul me'atzmai Nachal Mitzrayim, and that the boundary will come around from the river of Mitzrayim, V'hoyisaytseisav yihayam, and that will come out towards the Yam, which towards the west. So it comes out that Eretz Yisrael is between Har Har to the north and Nachal Mitzrayim to the south, which again, that one is the northwestern corner, and Nachal Mitzrayim is on the southwestern corner. And you have the sea on the west. Now, there's places in the Mediterranean that come into the area of Eretz Yisrael for a distance of a few days between Har Har, which is all the way in the northwest, and to Nachal Mitzrayim, which is on the southwest. Now, in that area, if one it's not directly a line, there's Eretz Yisrael turns a little bit. So the northwest and the southwest, there are certain parts of the islands that are inside that concave between those two areas. So therefore, what the Tanya of the Brisa is saying, we view as if there's a line going from Har on, but along the western coast until Nachal Mitzrayim, and therefore, that's what the Tanya of the Brisa is saying. That minachut velefnim, whatever is inside that line, so that's Eretz Yisrael, that's considered like Eretz Yisrael. Minachut elochutz chutzlots, whatever is from that string, this imaginary line cutting through from Har down to Nachal Mitzrayim, whatever is beyond that line towards the west is going to be considered part of chutzlots. That's what Tanya Kama holds. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees. He says, call the entire sea, the entire Mediterranean, shekineged, that is opposite the ear space of Eretz Yisrael, meaning towards the west, meaning even if you keep on going with the Mediterranean all the way through the Atlantic Ocean until the end of the world, harehu k'Eretz Yisrael, says Rabbi Yehuda, that's considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Because Shenem, the Pasuk Bamidbar says, ugvul yam, that the western boundary, v'hoi lechem hayom agadol, shall be for you the great sea, the Mediterranean. And then it repeats, seemingly redundant, ugvul zeh yeh lechem gvul yam, and that this boundary should be for you the western boundary, the boundary of the sea. Now, this ugvul that the pasuk ends off is what's called a kroyeser. It's superfluous, seemingly superfluous, to tell you that even the depth, the width of the sea itself is considered part of the boundary. It's considered part of Eretz Yisrael. So as far as it goes, we view it as part of Eretz Yisrael. Now, however, says Rabbi Yehuda, v'anisin shebet tzadin. However, regarding the islands that are to the sides, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda addresses what the Tanna Kamma had said. He says, if you want to differentiate between which islands are considered part of Eretz Yisrael or not, not like the way you, Tanna Kamma, differentiated regarding the west, that you made an imaginary line going from north down to the south. Rather, he says, I would tell you the line that you would make would be regarding the north and the south, where if you have islands in the sea that go along the length of the Mediterranean to the north and to the south until it reaches places that are past, that are opposite on towards the west of Eretz Yisrael. That's where it makes sense, he says, to draw the imaginary line, not going down from north to south, but rather from east to west, and to separate what's totally opposite the western area of Eretz Yisrael and what's opposite the ear space of Chutz La'aretz. So he explains this follow. He says, Rayan Oisan, Kilochut Matuach Alein. We view that there's as if there's this imaginary string that's going across Mikufluria from this city that's at the tip top of Hirahar, which is all the way on the top, which is the most northernmost boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Vad Yamukain is going through all the way to the end of the world towards the west, to the Atlantic Ocean. That's one line on the top. And then Menachem Mitzrayim Vad Yamukain is, you do the same thing on the bottom, from the southernmost tip, going all the way through to the Atlantic Ocean. So Minachot Ulefnim, whatever is from that string and inward, meaning towards the other line, that's inward, in other words, between these two lines, so those islands are Eretz Yisrael. And same thing, not only the islands, but even all the water. And again, the reason why we're picking the words islands is only because on islands you could plow and you could plant, and therefore you'd be obligated in Meisr and Shemitah, and that would be a very significant halacha. That's why we pick islands. But regarding all the water, but from the string and outward, either way, what's further north or further south would be considered chutzlarts. Now, that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying. It's this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama is what the machlokes of those two brises on the previous daf was. And that is, again, the get was written in the Mediterranean, beyond the line that would separate from north to south, from Turi Amnon, going down to Nachal Mitzrayim. So the brisa says that it's like as if you brought in Eretz Yisrael. That's like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that whatever is opposite Eretz Yisrael towards the west, even all the way to the Atlantic Ocean, is considered part of Eretz Yisrael. The other breast that says that's like you brought in Chutz Lartz is like Drabban, who said no, that even the islands that westward has to be within that horizontal line cutting through from Har to Nachal Mitzrayim, and here since it's past, that's like bringing it in Chutz Lartz. Now, but once we introduce this brisa from Rav Nachman Yitzchak to say that this is the machlekes of those brisa on the previous stuff, the Gemara asks regarding interpreting the opinion of Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, Haivigvul, this, what we said, seemingly superfluous part of the pasuk when it mentions the sea being the westernmost boundary, and they don't make the interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda to say that that includes the entire western part of Eretz Yisrael, of the water, meaning all the way to Atlantic, Samayavdilei, what do they do with that seemingly extra pasuk? So I think Gemara says, Mibayle Lenisin, they require that to include those islands that are from that imaginary line towards the west, meaning from Har Har, cutting through to Nachal Mitzrayim, whatever those islands are, towards the west, facing to the east, meaning to the west of Eretz Yisrael, but towards the east of that line, that's considered part of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, that you shouldn't say that the edge of the sea, meaning by the beach of Eretz Yisrael, that's the boundary, and even those islands that are within those two lines, you would say maybe are not considered part of Eretz Yisrael. That's why you need this extra begvul that know that the sea is also included in part of Eretz Yisrael, but as long as it's within that imaginary vertical line. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara asks, but where does he know that, and also to include the entire western area? So the Gemara says, Nisan Leitzrichi Kroh, he held that those islands don't need a pasuk to include them, because since they're within the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, because Hirahar continues into that area, and so does Nachal Mitzrayim, and therefore that imaginary line for sure would include those islands, therefore he would hold that wouldn't need to be included in the pasuk, and if we are having an extra pasuk, must be coming to include the entire western area going all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah that we said, Remeir Omer, he said, arguing on the opinion of the Tanakhama, he said that Akko is Ke'eretz Yisrael v'chulu, that the Tanakhama said Akko is considered part of Chutz Laretz for the halachas of Gittin. On that, Remeir argued and said, no, that regarding the halachas of Gittin, we view Akko as part of Eretz Yisrael. Now, relating to this halacha, the Gemara says, Boyu Menei Reb Chiya Bar Abba. They asked the following question from Chiya Bar Abba. Hamoicher Avdei L'Surya, if someone sells his slave to someone in Surya. Now, Surya is what's known as Aram Tzeva. This is what was part of, largely, of Syria. And David HaMelech had conquered those lands, which were not part of Eretz Yisrael proper, and he added it on to Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, if you sell your slave to Surya, is it kamoicher b'chutz la'aretz dami? Do we consider it as if you're selling it out of Eretz Yisrael? Which, as the Mishnah tells us later on Daf Mem Gimlam Beis, that if someone sells his slave to chutz la'aretz, actually the slave then goes out free, because we penalize the purchaser, because since a slave is obligated in mitzvahs just like a woman, and therefore, he's forbidden to go from Eretz Yisrael to out of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, because that person did purchase it and taking the slave out of Eretz Yisrael, he goes free. So do we consider Surya for this halacha as chutz laretz, oilai, or not? So Amalahu, so Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said to them, Tinisua, we learned this in the halacha of our Mishnah. How so? Because the Mishnah said, as we just quoted, Remeir Omer, he says, Akkoi ke Eretz Yisrael legitin, we view Akkoi as Eretz Yisrael in regards to the halacha of Gittin. Now, on that the inference is, legitin in, only regards to halachas of Gittin, either because they're proficient in Lishma, because they're so close to Eretz Yisrael over there, or because there's caravans that are constantly coming back and forth, so there's witnesses that can verify those signatures. So for Gittin, it's not necessary to consider as chutz laretz, and you don't have to say b'fani nechta, b'fani nechta. But the inference is, la vadim loy, but regards to slaves, we don't view Akkoi as part of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, if someone sold his slave to Akkoi, he would go free as if he's selling him to chutz laretz. So says Reb Chiya bar Abba, v'koshkin Surya, and most definitely we're going to consider Surya as chutz laretz, demerach ketuvah, which is even further, Surya is further north of Eretz Yisrael more than Akkoi. So if you're selling your slave to Akkoi, the inference is it's like chutz laretz for sure regarding Surya. So relating to this halacha that was introduced because of a raya from our Mishnah, so Tarabon learned the braisa that actually b'shleish drachim in three ways shavs a Surya le Eretz Yisrael. The halacha of the lands of Surya are equal to Eretz Yisrael. U'b'shleish lechutz laretz, and actually in three ways it's considered like chutz laretz. And the siman, the mnemonic to remember this is av, bar, and rak. So the braisa explains, afara tame, the land, the earth of Surya, its earth is tame, and that we made a gzeira on it, kuchutz laretz, like the lands out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is in spite of the fact that, as we'll shortly see, this Tana, this Brisa holds, that Kibish Yochid Shmei Kibish, that although David HaMelech himself had conquered the land of Surya, not with the entirety of the Jewish people, but he considers it a valid conquering, that it's considered part of Eretz Yisrael now, and moreover that we'll see that Yerchaiv and Ma'isir in Surya, even so, they made the gzeira of Tumas Eretz Ha'amim, same thing applying to Surya, just like they made all areas out of Eretz Yisrael, the lands being considered Tameh, that if someone goes out there, he's considered Tameh. So regarding that, it has the halacha of chutz laretz. Second of all, v'amaycher avdu l'Surya, k'maycher b'chutz laretz, as we just said, if someone sells a slave to Surya, it's like he sold them out of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the eved goes free. And the third one is v'amaybi get m'Surya, if someone brings a get from Surya to Eretz Yisrael, is k'maybi m'chutz laretz, it's like he's bringing from m'chutz laretz, and the reason being is because there's no caravans that are commonly coming from Surya to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there's not going to be edim mitzurin l'kaimoy, and because of that, like Rava had explained, you need the shliach to say b'fani nechta u'b'fani nechta. Now, u'b'shlei shel Eretz Yisrael, in three ways, Surya is similar to Eretz Yisrael. Chayeves b'maisru b'shviz k'Eretz Yisrael. You're obligated in Meister taking tithes, and the Shemitah year applies to Surya just like it applies to Eretz Yisrael. Second of all, Varitzli Kanas Laba Tahara Nichnas. If someone wants to enter into the land of Surya and remain in a state of purity, there is that ability and there is an option how to do that, where that's in contrast to other lands out of Eretz Yisrael, where there's no ability to go in it without becoming Tame. The Gemara shortly will explain what does that mean. And third of all, Vakoinah Sad b'Surya, if someone purchases land, a field in Surya, so we continue on Tamid Beis, is Kakoinah Bir Parvari Yerushalayim. It's as if he purchased one of the provinces surrounding Yerushalayim, meaning in the center of Eretz Yisrael. That is, the same thing would apply for someone that's purchasing a field in Surya, which shortly the Gemara will explain what halachic relevance does that mean. So again, three ways it's like Chutz Laretz, three ways it's like Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara explains the three ways that it's like Eretz Yisrael. So he said, Chayev is b'maisa b'shviz k'Eretz Yisrael. Why is it obligated in Tais and Shemitah like Eretz Yisrael? Because Kesaver, ki b'shyachad, the Tana this b'raisa holds, that an individual's conquering, which is reference to David HaMelech, because it wasn't the whole entire Jewish people that were conquering Surya like the entire Jewish people conquered in the days of Yeshua, the entire Eretz Yisrael, before they went and split it up. But rather over here, David HaMelech only conquered Surya for his own needs. Shmei Kibush, still the time of the Brisa held that it is considered a conquering regarding the status of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it was added on to Eretz Yisrael. So just like Eretz Yisrael is Chayvin, Maestris, and Shemitah, so too are the lands of Surya. The second area we said was, V'reitz l'konis l'batahara nechnas, that it's similar to Eretz Yisrael, that if someone wants to enter Surya and remain Tahar, he has that ability, in contrast to Eretz Ha'amim. Now that the question is, but va'amrit, but you said one of the ways that Surya is like Chutz La'aretz is that afarat tamei, its earth is tamei. So how can you go into Eretz Ha'amim and remain tar if the second you touch the ground, you're becoming tamei? So that the Gemara says, b'shida teva migdal, there's a way to enter into the land of Surya without touching the ground, by going in the carriage, in a box, or in type of a closet where that's carried in the ear, in contrast to Eretz Ha'amim, to other lands, where, as the Gemara shortly explained, it's going like the opinion of Rebbe, who holds that regarding other lands, there's no way to go in without becoming Tamei. The time, like, learn the Braisa. Hanichnes la'Eretz Ha'amim, if someone goes into the lands of the nations, meaning lands out of Eretz Yisrael, b'shed the table migdal, in the carriage, in the box, or in the closet, so Rebbe metamei, even in that way, Rebbe holds that the person will inevitably become Tamei. The reason being is because Rebbe holds Oihel Zarek, a moving container, a moving tent, is not considered oil. Whereas the Gemara explains this in Mesechtes Eirvin, that if it's a moving oihel, it's not considered an oil as it's moving. Now, therefore, although that seemingly that the oil of the box that you're in, a container that you're in, would be a chatzitza, would interpose between the person and the land of Eretz Ha'amim, that he shouldn't be considered being mahal, as if he's leaning and being over that land, is actually not considered a chatzitza, because it's like the oil doesn't exist. It's not considered an oil when it's moving. Now, that's what the Tana of this Bryce is teaching regarding Surya, that even Rebbe would not be metame when you're not touching the ground of Surya, as he holds by the case of Eretz Ha'amim. In other words, Eretz Ha'amim, he holds there's no way for the person to become tar, to remain tar, because even if you're moving through a box, the box is not considered as an oil, and it's like the box is not there, and it doesn't separate from him and the ground. So therefore, Rebbe holds that in Eretz Ha'amim, you're going to be Tameh. Whereas Rebbe Yisrael, Rebbe Huda Metar, he holds that, no, the person will remain tar, even in Eretz Ha'amim. And the reason being is because he holds that the oil zarg is a Shmei oil. It's considered an oil. So therefore, you're not really coming into the ground or even the ear space of those other lands. Now, that's what the Gemara explains. The chiddush in Surya is that even Rebbe didn't say that you're automatically going to become Tamei only in other lands. Because, first of all, the Gazra al-Gusha. There was one decree regarding Eretz Ha'amim, regarding the substance of the land itself, which would apply if, let's say, you would touch the land or move the land, not regarding oihel, which oil, there's two types of basic oil, which is if the tumah is on top of you, or you're on top of the tumah, or actually a third way is that you're both in the same oil. So that was not that gezer. There was one gezer regarding the substance of the earth itself. Now, v'yala vira, but additionally regarding Eretz Ha'amim, there was another gezer regarding just entering the ear space of Eretz Ha'amim, you become tummy, even if you didn't touch, even if you didn't move the land itself. So therefore, and as we explained, since he holds that oil zark is loishmei oil, going into Eretz Ha'amim, even in the ear, you become tummy. Aval Surya, that's the chiddush that we're saying over here, that regarding Surya, you could maintain your tahara. Al gusha gazru, it was only regarding the substance of the land, meaning if you touched it or if you moved it, that you'd become tamei. That was the first thing we said, that in regards to that, Surya is like chutz la'aretz. Because you're right, afara is tamei, the land, the earth is tamei. But al avir la gazru, regarding that second component, regarding the ear space, there they didn't make the gzeira on Surya like Eretz Ha'amim. And therefore, here where the person is going in the box, he didn't touch or didn't move the land. That's what we're saying regarding that. It's like Eretz Yisrael, that if someone wants to maintain his tahara going into Surya, he could, again, in contrast to other lands out of Eretz Yisrael. That was the second halacha. The third one was Vakoina Sada B'Surya. If someone purchases a field in Surya, it's Kakoina B'Parvar Yerushalayim. It's like he's purchasing right there in central Eretz Yisrael in the provinces around Yerushalayim. So the Gemara is L'may Helcha, so for what is halacha, does that mean that we're comparing Surya to Eretz Yisrael? Rav Sheish says, L'ayim, this comes to say, She'kosev in olav oinoi, that you write the sale, the document of the sale of this land that you're purchasing from the non-Jew in Surya, fa'afilu b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, meaning if you're purchasing from a non-Jew and he wants to leave on Shabbos, and if he's going to leave, you're not going to be able to prove that you had purchased from him unless there's a document written up. You could have the document written up on Shabbos that you purchased this land in Surya from the non-Jew. Now the Gemara wonders, b'Shabbos HaKadadich, would you entertain you allowed to write up a document on Shabbos? Which that's a malacha d'oraisa of Kaisa, but what would you, how can you entertain that? So the Gemara answers, no, it's k'da'amar Rava. Like Rava says in Masechta Shabbos regarding a chayla she'im b'sakana, regarding an ill person, not a danger to his life, that the halacha is oymer la'evik achav ma'isa. For an ill person, you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to do a malacha for him. Here also you could tell a non-Jew and he does it. He writes up the document. Now although Amir La'akim telling a non-Jew to do something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos is a rabbinic iser, you can't do it, you can't tell a non-Jew to do it. But Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but because of the settlement of Eretz Yisrael, which is to chase out the idol worshippers and to settle Jews in there, like Gaz Rabbanah, for that the rabbis did not make the decree, just like Rabbi says regarding Achil Hashem B'Sakana, which we also didn't have the decree of Amir La'akim for an ill person. Same thing applies for the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that for that we consider Surya like Eretz Yisrael, that is you're allowed to, there's no Isra of Amir La'akim for having the non-Jew write up the deed of the sale of purchasing the land in Surya, just like in Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan Linda Braisa, also related to what we mentioned before about Eved, and regarding Chutz La'aretz versus Eretz Yisrael. So this Braisa discusses regarding an Eved bringing his own get, just like as we're going to see on the next daf regarding the woman and the Eved bringing their own get. So the Braisa says, Tana Rabbanan Linda Braisa, Eved Shehevi Gita. Regarding a slave that brings his own divorce document from Medina Siam, from overseas, to Eretz Yisrael. Now, he has to say, Bafanai Nechtav, he has to say, in front of me was written, just like a woman that brings her own get, as the Mishnah again on the next daf tells us that Echad Gitei Noshim, Echad Shechur Avadim, Shavu L'Melech L'Mevi. The divorce documents of the emancipation of a slave has the same halachic status like the Gitei Noshim of women, where just like when you bring from Medina Zayam to Eretz Yisrael, or from Eretz Yisrael to Medina Zayam, you have to say b'fani nechtav or b'fani nechtav. So again, so regarding such a slave that's bringing his get, the cost of by atzmacha v'nechsayi kenuilach. Now in the get shichur, it says you and my assets are acquired to you. Says the Braisa, atzmai kana, that is regarding himself. Regarding his own shichur, his emancipation, he is believed when he says b'fani nechtav b'fani nechtam, and you don't need witnesses to verify the validity of this document, which usually you need to have key mishtaros, you have to validate it and prove it. Here he doesn't have to, just as we find by a woman, when she brings her own get, she's believed to say b'fani nechtav b'fani nechtam to be divorced, so too the Eved is believed regarding himself for his divorce from his master, but, says the Braisa nechasam lekana, he has not acquired all the other assets that his master is bequeathing to him when he's emancipating him, because regarding that, he needs witnesses like other kiyum shtaros, where the person is not believed, the one who's bringing the document is not believed to say, oh, this is a kosher get, the kosher document. What do you mean? Of course. You want to get all this money. For that, he has not acquired it until there are kiyum hashtar by two witnesses. Now, Ibayilu had the following question. That's if it said, as the Braisa said, atzmecha v'nuchsaya. Two separate terms were used. You and my assets are acquired to you. And that we made a division that himself is believed, b'fani nechtav, but the assets not. So now the Gemara asks, let's say, kol nechsayi kenuyin lach mahu. What's the halacha if he doesn't use two separate terms? He just says, all my assets are acquired to you. Do we say that when the Braisa spoke about atzmacha b'nechsayi, where those are two different statements, that is where we make a division between himself and the assets. But when he says, kol nechsayi, all my properties, since that's one inclusive statement regarding both the emancipation of the slave and of gifting of all his money, of all his assets to the slave itself. So regarding that, as the Gemara tells us later on, that if someone writes all his nechasim to his Eved goes out free because the Eved is included in the nechasim. He's part of all those assets that are being given to the slave. So therefore, the question would be, since we believe the slave regarding himself, because as we said, b'fani nechtav works for his own emancipation, so therefore we would also believe him regarding everything else that's included in the sentence of kol nechsayi, because we don't differentiate in one inclusive statement. If he's getting free himself based on the words kol nechsayi, because that's the only thing the master says, and that will free him, as we said, kol nechasim includes the emancipation of the slave, it includes everything which includes the slave, and b'fani nechtav works in himself. So we're not going to differentiate and say, okay, but it won't work for the rest of Kol Nechzai. Or maybe we do say what's known as Palgin and Dibur, that we split his words, meaning in one sentence, in one statement, we'll take it for one thing, but for the other thing, we won't take it. That's the Gemara's question. So Amabai Abai says, look, Mitech Shekana Atzmai, since he has acquired himself, because again, for himself, he is believed regarding with Befani Nechtav, Sekana Nechassim. So therefore, by default, he has also acquired the rest of the assets because we're believing him regarding the statement of Kol Nechzai. So if we're believing him regarding himself regarding Kol Nechzai, so Kol Nechzai includes all the other assets too, so he gets that too. Now that the Gemara asks, Amalei Rava, Rava says to Abaya, well, Bishle Ma'atma Likni, well, it's understood why himself he acquires, Midid Hava Get Isha, just like the halacha of when a woman brings her own get, where she's believed to say, Befanenachtam, so the same thing applies to the Shechar Avadim. But El Nechasim Loi Likni, but regarding the assets of his master, that he shouldn't acquire, Midid Hava Kimishtar Astiyama, just like regular validation of any document that you need to have two witnesses to verify it, and it's not enough for the guy himself, the Baldover himself, to say, oh, I know it's good. What do you mean, you know it's good? Of course, you want to take all that money. No, you need two witnesses to verify it. This is not like get shechur or get isha where the person himself is believed. So Abaya then retracted, and he said the other way around. He says, you're right. So he says, Mitech shaloi kan nachasim. Since you're right, he cannot acquire the rest of the assets, shaloi kan ha'atzmai, so he can't acquire himself. Because Kol Nechzai is one sentence. You can't divide that sentence. So I thought to say, okay, so if he's getting himself, he gets everything else. You're right, he can't get everything else, so then he can't get himself either. On that, the Gemara still asked, Amalei Rava, Rava said to him, well, Bishlem and Nechasim Lai Nikni, what are you talking about? The assets, I understand why he shouldn't get Mid Havakim Shtaras Diyama. Just like in regular validation of a document, that the guy himself who wants to take it is not believed. You need to have two Edim. But himself, he should acquire Midi Hava Getisha, just like it is by Getisha, where the woman is believed regarding herself. So Elam Rava, rather Rava, and this is obviously the main point that he's contending with Abaya, holds that, no, Echadze vi Echadze. Whether it's like the terminology used in the Braisa, when the master tells him, Atzmcha v'nechzai, or whether like the question we had asked, when he uses just one general statement of Kol Nechzai, Atzmei Kana, Nechasim Loi Kana. Then the slave acquires himself, but the assets he has not acquired, which then the Gemara will continue on to the next daf, which seemingly sounds like that Rav is going with the halachic concept known as palgina dibura, where we could take one cohesive statement and split it up and use it for one thing, which we do believe in, which is based on Befani Nechav, Befani Nechdom, but for the other part of what the statement includes, which is the rest of the Nechasim, for that we don't believe him because that falls under the rubric of Kim Shtaras Diyama, which needs to have two witnesses, and you don't believe the Baldava, the litigant himself.